The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese on this waiver wire edition of the show, the podcast. Thank you for being alongside us as we break down all of the waiver wire action coming your way tomorrow on when waivers process, fab dollars, your waiver priorities, whatever it is, we're here to help you get through it. And Matt, if we look back to the most recent game on the NFL slate, Broncos at Chargers, boy, that... that game left a lot to be desired. After the first quarter, okay, I'm just seeing this on TV right now, the QB rating for Russell Wilson was 9. After the first quarter, he went 5 of 18 for 72 yards. That is literally it. Like, I don't think there is a single member of the Denver Broncos offense. We saw Melvin Gordon get essentially benched. I think he had 3 carries in the entire game. Like, there's not a single guy, and I say this with some disappointment because I have a lot of shares of Cortland Sutton, but there's not a single guy in this offense you can really trust right now, is there?
No, well, the QB rating, that's out of 10, right? Like, it was 9. Oh, no, wait, it's not 9 out of 10. Ooh. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, we thought when Javonte Williams went down that it was going to be Melvin Gordon. And then last night it wasn't. And then it's like, okay, well, if it's not Melvin Gordon, it's got to be Mike Boone, right? Because Mike Boone had a really good game the week prior. It's not Mike Boone. So it becomes Latavius Murray. Like, I saw a tweet that says when you have the opportunity to run your offense through Latavius Murray, you must do it. Obviously, that was very tongue in cheek. But I mean, I think Jerry Jeudy led the team in receiving in terms of yardage. Greg Dulcich was the guy who ended up catching the touchdown, the rookie tight end, who's going to make an appearance in a lot of waiver wire pickups this week. It's not somebody that we have on our list today, but you know, Albert O was a healthy scratch. And I do wonder, there's lots of reports when the season started that Greg Dulcich was, or Dulcich, I think it's Dulcich, but I'm going to go with Dulcich, is going to be the starting tight end for this team as a rookie. And sure enough, he certainly looked the part in yesterday's game, but that Denver offense is just a nightmare. Nathaniel Hackett looks completely overmatched, which is kind of disappointing because I thought that he did. I mean, I know Matt LaFleur did a lot of the play calling in Green Bay, but I thought Nathaniel Hackett was going to have a really successful tenure in Denver. And honestly, Shoal, I wonder how much of that is just the fact that Russell Wilson sucks right now. And if you don't have a good quarterback in the NFL, it's really hard. Like, I saw a fellow colleague of ours, friend of ours, Mark Boffo, who's a producer at The Fan. He showed me a picture today of 3 different plays in which Russell Wilson did not see the guy who was wide open about 8 yards in front of him. Like, nobody around him. And there's at least 3 instances of reads that he did not get right, and they are so egregious. And I know that you can point that out about lots of different quarterbacks, but the difference is that, like, if Josh Allen misses a read or Patrick Mahomes misses a read, or, you know, insert great quarterback at this moment, Lamar Jackson missing a read, it's like, okay, he missed one, but he's still incredible. Russell Wilson is way more under the magnifying glass right now because he has been just dreadful outside of 1 or maybe 2 games this year.
Yeah, boy. I know there are some injuries plaguing him. Like, he has the shoulder injury. He got the shot for it. After the game, Hackett says he's dealing with some kind of hamstring injury. And I thought to myself, you know that gif of Jennifer Lawrence when she's like, yeah, okay. Like, that's kind of that's what went through my mind. Or like from Anchorman when he goes like, I don't believe you. That's kind of what I came to mind, because I thought to myself, okay, it just feels like he's making an excuse for how poorly Russell Wilson has played this season. It's not been great. And like you said, the poor play of Russell Wilson has essentially tanked the value of literally every single fantasy relevant player on the Denver Broncos offense. And remember, we thought when Russell Wilson went to Denver in the first place that they were going to be one of the most fantasy plentiful offenses in the entire NFL. Like, Russell Wilson himself, certainly either of the 2 running backs with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, injury to Williams can't be helped. That just is freak, you know, a freak accident. No one could have predicted that. But then even if you look at the wide receivers, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, people thought maybe KJ Hamler would be somewhat relevant, right? Based on what Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and other guys, right? Maybe the tight ends as well. All these guys were players we at least in part talked about, and now their value is I don't want to say like non-existent, but now I think, and look, I'll take Sutton because I mentioned him before. Sutton now, Matt, is like, I think the epitome of the player who you almost dread having to put in your own starting lineup, but you can never trade him because he has basically no value, and you can't like drop him because who's dropping Cortland Sutton because he's so talented. But like you there's no consistency. Like, I know fantasy football is already just as a general view built on like there's a lot of luck that goes into it, but man, if you put in Sutton or Judy or anyone into your lineup right now, you're basically like praying that they catch a touchdown right now.
Well, and a lot of what we do when we play fantasy football is we tend to, you know, worry about draft capital when we set our lineups. And the draft capital, and I want to stress this because I think people get caught up in it. The draft capital means nothing if the guy isn't producing. You can't put a guy in just because of his name. Like, if the way the offense is going right now and Cortland Sutton's unstartable, he's unstartable. It's pretty simple. It's just like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. They might just be unstartable. Russell Wilson, unstartable. And you may have invested a high pick, maybe not in the quarterbacks, but you probably invested a fairly high pick in Cortland Sutton. And if he's not performing, he's not performing. I'm not saying drop him, but you might have to be really selective of maybe just going with Cortland Sutton when the matchup favors him and then playing matchup-dependent lineups as you progress through the season. We do get caught up in like, oh, I drafted Najee Harris in the first round. I have to start him. Well, no, you don't, because he's not performing like a first-round pick. He's not even performing like a 15th-round pick at this point. So I think we get caught up in that, and I think that's a lot of it's mistakes that people make, and sometimes we just need to kind of get over the whole ego of the thing. Work the waiver wire, because that's where a lot of championships are won, and you have to make your lineup accordingly. And I think so many people just get caught up in, I got to start this guy because I drafted him high. And a lot of times it doesn't work out in your favor.
I think the reason people do that to an extent also is because you drafted a guy so highly, chances are your backup options are probably not that great. Like just based on like the law of averages, especially. And then here's another thing too, this year, and we can talk about this more on Sunday, but this year, Matt, off like league offense, the across the entire NFL is down by like 13 points a game, which just for a real life watch of basically any NFL game makes it just, I think, that much, unless you're like a super hardcore fan of defense, it just makes it that much less enjoyable. But for fantasy purposes, it basically means there's like what, 2 touchdowns basically per game that are not being scored by literally anyone. It's like not even that these are going to the random tight ends of the world or your third string running back of the world and so on. Like, it's not like on Sunday we saw like Jamichael Hasty vulture a touchdown away from like either James Robinson or Travis Etienne, and then the other 2 rushing touchdowns in that same game were scored by Trevor Lawrence. Like, there's no way you could have predicted any of those things. But it's just like, it's not even like touchdowns are being scored by those guys, it's that touchdowns are not being scored by anyone. So when league offense is down, it makes the margin for error so much smaller, and I think a lot of people are suffering as a result. Like, I think you see a lot less of like 140 point outings from your team, and a lot more 100 point outings from teams as well. You know, I'll quickly, before we get to our waiver wire stuff,
Before you get to that, just about the offense. So somebody had sent me this, and the tweet was, and I don't know who sent it because they just sent it in a group message, but it said something about football feels off, right? Sluggish. And then they said, that's because the first 6 weeks of fantasy scoring are the lowest in 13 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Down 22% from last year. We're seeing it in primetime games. There's a severe shortage of consistently high-powered offenses. The other thing is, show with that conversation is that the high-powered offenses, the Buffaloes, the Kansas Cities, they're still going at a pretty reasonable clip. but teams are starting to figure out how to play against the other offenses. That's the big difference. I think defenses are playing better. Look at what the Bills did against Patrick Mahomes. I know he threw for a lot of yards, but Patrick Mahomes threw his first red zone pick, and he had the pick late in the game. Two interceptions for Patrick Mahomes, that almost never happens. And the only guy, like Juju, had like a kind of an odd touchdown, but Travis Kelce, you know, was consistent, and he had over 100 yards. After that, I mean, it was kind of, I don't want to say barren, but Patrick Mahomes is just kind of spreading the ball around. And I think we're seeing that a lot across the NFL.
Ugh, Juju Smith-Schuster, gosh. Of course, the 1 week I haven't started him after, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm fed up. They're playing the Bills too. No, I'm not starting Juju. He goes off for like almost 20 points. So thanks a lot. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Juju. That's fantasy football for you. If you don't like that, you don't like playing fantasy football. I was just going to say, before we get to the waiver wire stuff, like in my home league, we have a $25 weekly prize for the highest scoring team of the week. So every team by the end of the season, in addition to like whatever the first place, second place, third place winners get, there's a weekly $25 prize that goes out to the highest scoring of every regular season week. And I feel like I'm always like second or third by just a handful of points. And in this particular week, I went into Monday night as the highest scoring team, and the next highest scoring team, the only one who had a reasonable chance of catching me, had Mike Williams and Justin Herbert. And I thought to myself, okay, well, it's done. It's donezo here. Look, I'm not getting the highest scoring team of the week. I ended up winning that matchup like against between the two highest scoring teams by 1 point, because Justin Herbert and Mike Williams just were again, not invisible, but again, like it goes back to the offensive conversation we were having. It just, a lot of things have not gone right for a lot of teams this year. And the Chargers, another team like the Broncos that we all thought would be super high powered. I mean, a lot of it has to do with injuries and so on. And Austin Ekeler is still very, very valuable. Don't get me wrong. But apart from him, like Mike Williams is as inconsistent as it gets. And I'm not sure, like, he kind of falls into the Cortland Sutton part of this conversation as well. Like, you can't drop him, certainly, but it's hard not to start him. But I mean, you know, there are not a lot of other options out there.
Well, no. And the other thing is like, we talk about injuries and how it affects that specific player, but how about the injury to Keenan Allen and how it affects Mike Williams? Like, we don't talk about that enough, because I think people are like, oh, well, Keenan Allen's in the lineup, that automatically means that it's going to hurt Mike Williams. And that hasn't been the case. Like, Mike Williams had the one really good game against the Chiefs. I think he had another game where he was good, but other than that, he's kind of just been like really boom or bust. And I think that's the conversation here, is that there are injuries, there are this, there are that, but we don't often look at how an injury affects another player, because everybody always jumps to, oh, next man up. Like, it's great. Like, if CD Lamb goes down, do you think that helps Michael Gallup? Sure. He gets more targets, but in the same breath, like, is Michael Gallup really good enough to go against the other team's top corner? I'm not sure about that. So that's part of the conversation that we need to have. And yeah, Mike Williams has been kind of the epitome of boom or bust this year.
Yeah, boy, it's been a weird year. Let's put it that way. It's been a strange year so far. And look, it's week 7 starts this coming weekend, this coming Thursday, really. So I think there'll be a lot more of these conversations to be had. But here, I'm hoping, and I know you are as well, that offenses kind of get a little more back on track. Let's get to our waiver wire pickups here, because we've spent a lot of time ruminating on the state of fantasy football. But I want to get to your picks and some of the wide receivers, because we're talking about guys who are filling in, guys who are popping up as the secondary options and so on. And I know you have two guys, Rondale Moore and Wandale Robinson. Actually, I never even think about saying those two names next to each other until I realize they sound very, very similar. But Rondale Moore, of course, plays for the Arizona Cardinals, rostered in 46% of Yahoo leagues, and Wandale Robinson in just 8% of Yahoo leagues. And I know we talked about Wandale Robinson of the Giants on Sunday, this past Sunday, about how, oh, he is playing, he was active, not all the a lot of other options for Daniel Jones to throw the ball to. He did catch a touchdown. Hey, that 8%, Matt, I expect it to shoot up. So what do you think, like, what do you think a reasonable bid for a Giants team that has looked pretty good? I mean, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but they're as good record-wise as I think the Bills are, which is pretty crazy. Good time to be a fan of New York football teams, apparently, because the Bills, Giants, and Jets all looking not bad, certainly right now. And for the Giants, Wandale Robinson is a big part of the passing attack, but still, for the top option for Daniel Jones, I mean, how much should you be spending fab-wise on Wandale Robinson?
I'm probably in the 20% category here. And the reason is that we know that the offense is not a high volume passing offense. We understand that. The reason why I'm very interested in what happens with Wandale Robinson is a couple things. One, he's going to probably be the highest targeted wide receiver on this team. Two, he's used all over the field. And we've seen how Brian Daboll uses different guys, like especially those guys that, you know, quote unquote gadget guys. They drew up lots of plays for Isaiah McKenzie last year in Buffalo, Brian Daboll did. And Wandale Robinson, when he started at Nebraska, had 88 rushing attempts. Then he had 46 rushing attempts with Nebraska the year after. And last season with Kentucky, they used him more as a receiver, where he had 104 catches for 1,334 yards, and he added 7 rushes for 111 yards. So they will use him all over the field. And I think this past week was just kind of the tip of the iceberg, what we're going to see with Wandale Robinson, because he was coming off the knee injury. I didn't look at the snap counts, but I'm sure they weren't very high. But this is a player that, and I have seen this comp, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the style of Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying you're going to get Tyreek Hill numbers,
says that Wandale Robinson is the next Tyreek Hill. That's what we're taking away from this.
But what I'm saying is how they use Tyreek Hill with a lot of motion on jet sweeps, on all over the place. I think that's what Brian Daboll is looking to do with Wandale Robinson. I know he's limited in the passing game only because Daniel Jones, I believe, is limited as a passer. But with, you know, this week is like, it is like murderer's row of bye weeks. You have the Bills on a bye. You have the Rams on a bye. You have the Vikings on a bye. And you have the Eagles on a bye. We talk about fantasy scoring being down. Those four teams have top guys at every position, right? So Wandale Robinson is absolutely a guy that I would be looking at. They have the Jags this week, and the Jags just got torched by the Colts on defense. So I would have Wandale Robinson pretty close to the top of my priority list this week.
Yeah, I think so too. I think of all the options that are possibly available to you this week, look, I know there are other guys, maybe like, I don't know, Alec Pierce is still sitting on the waiver wire. That's a guy you and I have talked about a couple times now. But if not for them, I think, yeah, I'm probably saying that Giants wide receiver Robinson, Wandale Robinson, is probably the guy. I know he only played 15 snaps on Sunday, but he got still 3 balls, 37 yards on 4 targets with a short touchdown. So again, I guess like buyer beware the low passing volume of this offense, but still, I think he is talented enough to still make a difference. And Rondale Moore was the other guy rostered in 46% of Yahoo League. So with those numbers, chances are he is rostered in some league, one league or another. Especially like if you're listening to a fantasy football waiver wire podcast every Tuesday, chances are you are hardcore enough that the leagues you're in that want Rondale Moore is probably rostered. But on the off chance he's not, 46%. Robbie Anderson is in Arizona now that Marquise Brown is, I don't know if he is out for the year, but certainly he is injured.
No, but it's going to be a long, yeah, he'll be out for a while, sounds like.
Yeah, and exactly. So if that's the case, then I know DeAndre Hopkins is going to come in and he's going to immediately this week in week 7 assume a whole bunch of that target share, as you imagined he would back in the draft, because he was drafted in basically every league. But still, there has to be someone to soak up those next targets. And I would imagine Rondale Moore, who actually has been relatively productive, relatively healthy speaking this season, I would imagine is going to be the guy who takes like more than Robbie Anderson, at least, who I think is rostered in like around 13% of leagues.
Yeah, and so Rondale Moore's roster percentage actually went up from 19% last week to 46% in Yahoo leagues. So he's gone up a bunch. But the thing is like everybody wants to run out to go get Robbie Anderson because he just got traded there. Couple factors. One, Robbie Anderson is a receiver that plays on the outside. Two, Robbie Anderson has to go learn a new playbook. Find me the receiver that changes teams midseason that ends up having a massive impact. It's not a long list. It's really not a long list. And the other thing is Rondale Moore is a slot receiver. Rondale Moore is used in the slot, out of the backfield, on bubble screens. Like that's what his usage is. He has 18 targets over the last 2 weeks, including 10 this past week, which he turned into 6 catches for 49 yards. So in half PPR leagues, full PPR leagues, that's what you want. In standard leagues, I would be kind of staying away because I feel like I would almost rather the boom or bust with Robbie Anderson in that case. And I wouldn't be starting him a lot just because I'd be scared. But Rondell Moore's job does not change with Robbie Anderson coming there. They're going to use Rondell Moore the exact same way as they used him before this trade and before DeAndre Hopkins comes in. I don't envision that Robbie Anderson is going to have a ton of weekly success. Like, he may have those weeks where he pops for, like, you know, 3 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. Like, that happens, but that's Robbie Anderson, because the next week he's going to have 2 catches for 17 yards and no score. So I have Rondell Moore fairly high as well. I understand that he's going to be rostered in, well, he's rostered in almost half of Yahoo League, so that kind of tells you everything you need to know. But he's definitely a guy that if he's available, half PPR, full PPR leagues, I would be interested in.
Can I just say also, I was just trying to find this tweet while you were talking. This is from Ian Rappaport. This is from yesterday. He says, some good news for Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Marquise Brown. Following the MRI, his foot isn't as bad as was initially thought. It's a small, non-surgical fracture, source said. Recovery time about 6 weeks. He is getting a second opinion from Dr. Robert Anderson before moving forward. Look, I saw that tweet and I thought to myself, damn, Robbie Anderson got traded to the Cardinals and is already giving people second opinions on their foot. All I could think of was, if that was actually the case, you would think that Dr. Robert Anderson would say, oh, Hollywood, ooh, you want to take the job? You're done for the year, pal. Sorry, it's Robbie's time now. I thought to myself, that's hilarious. What a hilarious coincidence. Like, honestly.
Yeah. You can't write that book, buddy.
No, you can't write that book.
You can't write that. I love it though. But you know what though? It's a shame. You know, we talk about fantasy scoring going down and everything. Like, Hollywood Brown is having a really, really nice year, and he really started to pick it up.
Yeah.
I hate when anybody gets hurt because it's their livelihood. We forget about that. But my God, like, when guys are on pace to have like a career year, that's the worst. I hate that, and I feel really bad for Hollywood Brown there.
Yeah, I do too. I hope he comes back strong because he was a bona fide WR1 for any team with the amount of targets he was seeing from Kyler Murray and the amount of balls he was actually catching. Yeah, I hope he comes back strong. And even if he doesn't come back this year, I do hope we see that production from him again next year, because him next to DeAndre Hopkins, ooh, I think that's a nice duo. I like that duo. I think that it reminds me to a certain degree of AJ Brown and Devonta Smith, and both those guys have been productive as well this season. So I like it for them. Let's look at some other guys on the waiver wire pickups. And I know we talked about Moore, we talked about Robinson. I know you had a pair of running backs here, both rostered in 15% of Yahoo leagues. Gus Edwards with the Ravens, and of course Latavius Murray with the Broncos. And I wonder on Murray, because he is on a team, like we just spent a lot of time talking about, he's on a team that is bad. there's no two ways about it. The Broncos kind of stink right now. So I'm not sure I want too much of this offense. Having said that, any guy who's going to get a lot of carries is going to be worth something fantasy-wise. But still, boy, I'm not sure he's higher on the priority list than, let's say, either Moore or Robinson, the guys we've already discussed.
Yeah, no, he's not. I mean, the only reason why he's on here is like he somehow led the team in carries yesterday. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
He's like, I know the GM loves him because he, like, George Payton had him in Minnesota. He also had Mike Boone in Minnesota. But like, he led the team in carries a week after being on the practice squad with the New Orleans Saints. Somehow this does not register with me. I have no idea what is going on there. Nathaniel Hackett's a disaster. But yeah, I mean, if you're having a problem at running back, like there is an instance where you could have this week on a bye because of where they were all drafted. You could have Devin Singletary, Daryl Henderson, Miles Sanders, and Dalvin Cook on a bye this week. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
So you might have to go get Latavius Murray just to get yourself through the week. Gosh. But that's where we're at with the state of fantasy football right now. When you have four powerhouse teams that go out on a bye, I mean, and other guys are struggling. Like, not that the Broncos have been the epitome of a high-powered offense, but there's so many guys out there that are struggling that, you know, if you can get 15 carries from Latavius Murray and he gets, like, you know, 60 yards and he punches one in, you're laughing all the way to the bank. And it is possible because the passing offense has been terrible. But, I mean, He's not high on my priority list because I still feel like Melvin Gordon's in the mix and Mike Boone's in the mix. And like, are they going to trade Melvin Gordon? Like, I don't see that happening either. So I feel like Latavius Murray is just there because it's a recency bias thing. And I know people are going to jump at the chance. My thing would be proceed with caution with him. Like, don't spend a ton of your fab on him. Just proceed with caution because, again, there's a reason why he was on the practice squad with the New Orleans Saints as of 2 weeks ago and not on the active roster every single week.
The most I know about Latavius Murray is that he went to UCF, and one of my cousins who lives in Florida and also went to UCF is he's not a realtor, but he's one of those guys that he's a photographer that takes pictures of houses that go up for sale that realty agencies use essentially. And he helped Latavius Murray sell his house. I think it was last season or a couple of seasons ago. And I remember my cousin, who's not into fantasy football whatsoever, Matt, told Latavius Murray in person that I was a big fan of his and that I rostered him on my fantasy football team. And he sent me a picture of Latavius Murray being it was almost like a cameo type video of him being thanks for drafting me in fantasy football.
That is amazing.
It was so funny. I saw that. I laughed out loud because I mean, yeah, it's not that I'm not a fan of Latavius Murray, but it's not like I'm like every time I look out, I like
diehard, yeah, have his die jersey.
Hard, yeah. Diehard Murray fan. I just, every time I think of him now, I think of that, and so I feel like I like him a little bit more, if only for that one reason.
Yeah, he sounds like a genuinely good dude, but you're not going to, if he's on somebody's practice squad, you're not going to draft him I love Latavius Murray so much, I got to have him on my roster. I know there are people that are like that, but you are not one of them because you are smart.
Well, hey, another running back that we've talked about a couple times, I think less so during the season, and more so, I think, in the preseason and when we were kind of getting ready for what the Ravens offense would look like, has been Gus Edwards, and rostered in 15% of Yahoo leagues. Gus is interesting to me. Gus the Bus is interesting to me because, again, the RB1 on the Ravens offense, his name is Lamar Jackson, right? And so J.K. Dobbins, I think he was removed as a precautionary thing with a knee tightness. He's clearly not 100%, clearly not all the way back. It was a pretty gruesome injury he suffered. So that he's on the football field at all scoring any sort of touches is, I think, a small miracle in itself. And I love to see Dobbins on the field because, I mean, you know, I've talked about how talented he is when he was in college. But at the same time, Gus Edwards is going to be getting some touches. Again, it's a very high volume rushing offense. It's going to be hard to predict, I think, how many of those rushes are going to go to Edwards, how many of them are going to go to Dobbins, and then of course how many of them are going to go to Lamar himself.
Well, this one is a little bit of a preemptive kind of buy, right? Here and the reason why I say that is because we're still not even sure if Gus Edwards is going to play on Sunday. Adam Schefter on Monday Night Football said that he was going to play and that he was going to make an impact. At least that's what I thought I saw. So, I mean, if that's the case and J.K. Dobbins' knee is tightening up a little bit, that's a concern. And Gus Edwards, I know a lot of people are going to jump at Kenyon Drake because he had a monster week this week, and I get it. Yeah, Kenyon Drake and Deion Jackson, those are the guys that end up leading. What a disaster that was at the running back position this week. But Gus Edwards has had success in this offense with this coach, with the style of offense that they play. And Gus Edwards was averaging at one point 5.6 yards per carry in his career. So there is a path to touches here for Gus Edwards, because I'm pretty sure at this point he's better than Kenyon Drake, and Kenyon Drake could have just been a one-off thing. The thing is if you don't go out and get Gus Edwards this week and he ends up having a big week, you may end up being in trouble. If you go pick him up, and we've talked about on the Sunday show, if you go pick him up and you have an IR spot or a spot for someone who is out that you can put on the IR, that's the perfect place to stash Gus Edwards.
I think you're
because
right. Yeah.
If he plays, you probably got to start him. If he doesn't, then you just hold on to him for another week because he is going to be back. And J.K. Dobbins, you mentioned, coming off the injury, they're probably going to be a little bit more cautious than other guys would be after coming off of such a serious injury.
I still think by the end of the season, J.K. Dobbins is going to be the main running back to own, generally speaking. But still, right now, kind of mid-season. There's still a lot of football left to be played. They're going to be careful with him because the Ravens, obviously, I mean, they don't care about our fantasy team. They just care about scoring points and making the playoffs. So having said that, they're going to be cautious with Dobbins, but I do think by the end of the season, he will overtake basically all the other guys on this team for the number one running back role. Let's get to a couple more. You have one. I got one as well. We talked about the Giants offense a little bit and that low passing volume offense. But having said that, tight ends are always... I mean, look, this year in particular, I mean, it's I don't think it's actually changed that much year over year in terms of the top guys are the guys you want. And then it's basically a wasteland dart throw after, like, literally the guys who are not named Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. Literally everyone else has been a crapshoot dart throw every single week. Daniel Bellinger, rostered in just 3% of Yahoo leagues with the New York Giants, the rookie, he hasn't looked too bad. Again, tight ends being what they are, not a bad dart throw, but that kind of, to me, is all what it is at this point, Matt.
A little bit, yes. And I will, and like, I mean, here's exactly what I wrote. With okay. The tight end landscape being so barren, you could do a lot worse, right? He's got touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. He led the team in targets. I know it was only five, but this was a player that I hate that I keep doing that. I do the Chris Collins route. This is a guy, and we all do it, but... Daniel Bellinger was very highly thought of coming out of college. And when he landed with the Giants, everybody kind of went, nah, don't love it, but okay, whatever. Maybe they'll get a quarterback. The thing is that there's nobody that's better than him on that roster. And as a pass catching option, it may be him and Wandale Robinson that are one and two. And in whatever order that you may like, you know, and this offense is still moving the ball. They're able to score points. I don't know how, but they're managing to do it. So if you've got a tight end that has maybe a higher touchdown upside than another one, like, it, you know, for example, in Denver, like, I like Dulcich, but they rotate. Like, Eric Saubert gets rotated in. Adam Beck gets rotated in. When you look at Seattle, it's Noah Fant. It's Colby Parkinson. It's Will Disley. Like, you run into those situations, even in Indy with Granson, with Mo Alley Cox and Jelani Woods. And I know Jelani Woods had a big week this week, but that changes every week. If you can go out and get a guy that you know is going to play like 90% of the snaps, go out and get him. Like, that's kind of how you have to look at the position right now, because at least there's an opportunity there. You just may have the opportunity for more volume, whereas these other guys that are playing, you know, 30% of the snaps, as opposed to Bellinger, is probably, I would assume he's probably closer to 80. You just have more opportunity because he's on the field more.
Yeah, it's true. And look, I think again, beyond Kelce Andrews, you're going to have a tough time predicting things as much as possible. But again, fantasy football is about, I think, reducing that prediction, that luck, that guesswork as much as possible, as much as you can. And I think Bellinger has shown, I think, enough flashes again in his relatively short career so far that he might be worth exploring a pickup. Maybe not an every week start, but against teams that are not so great against the tight end position, you could probably, like you said, you could probably do a lot worse. Also, real quick, if you ever want to look at a tight end that I'm really curious to see draft capital wise where he goes, Brock Bowers out of Georgia. I don't think he's draft eligible until 2024, so we're not going to be talking about him this coming April, but next April is when you're going to really be talking about Brock Bowers. But I am very curious to see, because he could be the next, like, Travis Kelce type of guy. But I mean, then again, on the other hand, we did also say that about Kyle Pitts, and look how that's gone in 2020. I know he caught a touchdown, but still, I mean, like, it's not certainly not been what you want. Before we go, one more from me. Patriots wide receiver Tyquan Thornton, rostered in just 2% of Yahoo leagues, Matt, which is obviously means he, even in the most competitive of leagues, he probably is just being stashed right now. He only came off the IR, I think, what, a couple of weeks ago. So he's only played, I think, in two games against the Browns on Sunday. He played 40 snaps. He caught a touchdown and reached the end zone also as a rusher as well. So I don't think that's going to happen every single time. They just didn't have Damian Harris. They wanted to try the rookie out. He's very, very fast. He had a 10.6 mile an hour speed in the 100 meter dash in high school, which is pretty wild. So he's a fast kid. He's a little slight, but a 2%. I mean, if the Patriots continue to operate their offense like this, even when Mac Jones does come back over Bailey Zappi, I think you could, again, and we use the phrase, you could do a lot worse. I think Tyquan Thornton is as interesting to me as some of the other kind of fringe wide receiver prospects.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, Bailey Zappi threw for over 300 yards this past week. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. And I mean, the Browns secondary is decent. I wouldn't say it's horrible, but it's decent. And he had a day on them. So, I mean, we'll see what happens against the Bears coming up. But I mean, that's probably not the game that you start Tyquan Thornton, but see how it goes, because that's a good secondary. And then I believe New England's matchups, they start to open up a little bit after the Bears, if I'm not mistaken. So it is a guy, absolutely, kind of like the conversation that we had with Gus Edwards, like put him on your roster. Gus Edwards is a little bit different because you could still maybe put him in an IR spot, but put him on your roster and kind of see how it goes. Because I mean, everybody has droppable players at this point in the year. Like, you're not holding on to Kenny Golladay anymore. Like, that ship has sailed. You're not holding on to Kadarius Toney. Mentioned two Giants in that conversation. But, you know, you're not holding on to Devontae Parker. Like, there are plenty of drops that you can have. And then we will kind of see how he gets worked into the offense as he comes back from injury. Because there's also that factor as well. He's going to play more snaps. They invested in him. He's going to play more snaps. He's just coming back from injury. I wouldn't be surprised to see his snap count really rise this coming week.
I mean, hey, it would certainly benefit the Patriots to have a more reliable receiver like that's not named Jacoby Myers. So Jacoby Myers has been pretty reliable, but I mean, he can't do it all. They need a couple other guys, and if Thornton can be one of those guys, and I'm not, like you said, I'm not so sure about Devontae Parker, not so sure about Nelson Agholor, not so sure about Kendrick Bourne, but if Thornton can supplant those guys, and he certainly has the draft capital in real life to do so, then I think he's definitely going to be fantasy relevant to a degree if Zappi, or when Mac Jones comes back, continues to sling it. Real quick before we go, because that was it for our waiver wire pickups, but this just coming in from Adam Schefter in the last couple of minutes. Ravens signing veteran wide receiver DeSean Jackson at 35. Jackson is back for his 15th NFL season. I don't think that is really fantasy relevant whatsoever, but I figured I'd just say it in case you had some insight into that, Matt. But again, I'm not sure that's going to move the needle too much.
I just wonder what that means for Rashad Bateman's injury. Because Rashad Bateman was the guy that was stretching the field for Baltimore. And unless they're bringing in DeSean Jackson to do the same type of thing and then just be able to move Rashad Bateman around the formation. But I mean, I'm not going out and touching DeSean Jackson because I think there's better options. But I wonder if it tells us a little bit more about what's going on with Rashad Bateman. I haven't seen anything if he's going to be in this week or not. It sounded like maybe he was close, but who knows? That those types of moves really kind of give me pause, because I wonder what the domino effect is with those.
Well, probably to me, it maybe just sounds like a safety valve type of thing. Maybe safety valve is the wrong word, terminology, but just like a break glass in case of emergency type of thing. And they can get DeSean Jackson on a field just to have a couple more options, because let's face it, Mark Andrews is always going to be the number one guy, even when Rashad Bateman does return. But after Mark Andrews, if Bateman is out, are you really going to rely on Devin Duvernay too much? I'm not saying to crap on the guy. It's just that, like, you want a more, I think, trusted option. And just having Mark Andrews and then Duvernay after that is not good enough for a guy who I think has MVP aspirations. So, again, that's what I think it is. A break glass in case of emergency. But you're right. It probably does belie the injury to Bateman, meaning that he might be out this week. Maybe they're just being cautious. But again, fantasy perspective, I don't think anyone should be rushing to the waiver wire to pick up old DJ.
Oh no, don't do that, please. We did not give you that advice. No, do not do that.
We did not say that. No, absolutely not. Okay, that does it for our waiver wire edition. Hey, are you excited for Saints Cards on Thursday? Are you chomping at the bit to watch? I don't even know who's going to play quarterback. You heard Andy Dalton injured his back, and like maybe Jameis Winston. He did suit up as the like emergency guy this past weekend, so maybe that means he's healthy enough to play on Thursday. But oh boy, Saints are quarterbacking for them, not looking so great after Drew Brees left, eh?
No, we could see the Taysom Hill tight end start.
True.
We could see that putting up QB numbers. I am keeping an eye on that, because if he's starting, you can guarantee that I am starting him in my tight end spot this week.
Oh yeah, the revenge of Taysom Hill. We'll never be free of talking about Taysom Hill, Matt.
Not until he retires.
Yeah, that's what I've realized. Okay, that's my Marchese, Matt. Enjoy the Thursday nighter. Best of luck with your waiver pickups, whether or not you are grabbing Wandale Robinson or not. And I'll talk to you on Sunday.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk Sunday.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Show Ali. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show. We'll chat on Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Sportsnet Radio Network.